Okay, I've got your. This is acrostic. Yeah, next week we're gonna start on the grievance cycle. We'll do a week or two on the grievance cycle, so you can help people that are going through it, and you can help yourself too. But here we go. What an anchor is to a ship, hope is to the soul. They both stabilize, hold steady amidst the storms of life. Every Christian has been given a secure anchor in the person of Christ, and then we have this hope and anchor for the soul. We're secure. Hebrews 6:19. Drifting. How to have an anchored life. I think one of the biggest problems I find in everybody's life. Have you ever been driving down the road and drifting off to sleep? And I thank God for these little notches on the side of the road now. My wife loves to play a little game. I'm on the passenger side and I start dozing off. She does the run over and scare me to death. Because I wake up wondering, am I driving? I'm pretty sure for the steering wheel, there's no steering wheel there because I'm the pastor. What's that? Oh, yeah. You know, it's a boring sermon when you dream that you're preaching and you wake up in your yard. Okay. Well, you know, it's a boring service when your leg falls asleep and the rest of your body gets jealous. Okay. Drifting. It is so easy to drift. We can be walking through the day. And also we see the birds singing. We hear something. And I think I walked in my cabin 2 or 3 times for something the other day, and I kept laying down my book places. I had to keep going finding my book, my director's book. Where's that? Where's that? Where's that? Because I kept laying it down. And then somebody get my attention. And at a mass, you may have 20 people come to get your attention. Plus, they're asking, what's next? How do we handle this? Blah, 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 blah. So you're going back and forth. And so it's easy to drift. Also, I'll catch myself sometimes. Like last night, I wanted to watch that Carolina Villanova game. And at about halftime, I was really feeling kind of tired. And so I just kind of let my head to the side on the couch. And Linda said, okay, the second half starting. So I watched the second half, and I missed about 5 minutes of it going drifting right off. Now, if Duke was playing, I'd have been right there in my seat. But, okay. And I have seen Duke do what happened last night to UNC. I've seen Duke do it numerous times, that famous last second three-pointer. It's easy also as a Christian. You're going along. Everything's going fine. You're standing strong in God. And you find it, you don't even realize you're drifting until you know what that little bump on the side of the road. You know what you would call it in our life, let you know you're drifting. Yeah, you know what you call it though. You might talk that. I'm talking about in our Christian life. What do you call it? What do you call it? Rumble strip. Okay, cool. Well, you know what the rumble strip is for a Christian. Get ready. Usually it's crisis. Okay? We don't like it. We don't like it. Right now, it was called a rumble strip. Yeah. Okay, and for the Christian, the rumble strip is crisis. It's usually until we hit that crisis when we realize we're having that problem. It's like Samson. He didn't realize his hair was cut. And he kind of shook himself. But when them boys grabbed him, and they had him, he realized, whoa, I done blown this. Okay. The same way, the crisis, also not only crisis, but sometimes just a word from God. A rhema word from God. You may be in church, and all of a sudden, the preacher or somebody else or song goes off, and you find out, hey, I'm drifting. So we're going to get that song for the altar call, and put some Christian words to it. From Paul Simon, slip sliding away, slip sliding away. You know, the Holy Ghost will catch you if you slip sliding away. Okay. Well, so the anchor is what helps you from drifting. But look, anchors have to be tested. How many know that? Most stuff, you can't do a lot of things unless you test it. So anchors have to be tested. And so each new anchor is taken out on a ship, attached to a chain, and cast overboard. The fountain power boats, one of the most awesome things about a fountain power boat is it takes about 10 hours for a boat to be broken in, for a boat motor to be broken in. And fountain power boats, when you got their boat, when you bought their boat, you got it broke in. They put 10 hours in. And that 10 hours was used to test it. They tested everything. So when you got back, you got a whole sheet of everything that was tested. So then somebody would come back and say, you know, this didn't work right, or I never could get this whatever. I could pull that sheet out and go, well, in the 10 hours of testing, this was the temperature, this was the speed, this was the foils, this was whatever, this was what's recorded, you know. And so, and then we had a speed, and then we had a GPS speed. So we had a speedometer speed, GPS speed, all that. Same way, the casting is repeated at different depths of water in different kind of water bottoms containing different sediments. So stress is put on the anchor to see if the metal or the shaft of the anchor will twist or break, and if the anchor will drag or slip. So this is some tough stuff. If you got something being tested like this, when they tell you it's been tested and approved, you know it'll hold you. I know our anchor will hold. Amen. Each of these anchors is tested before sold in order to establish that it will hold secure. We have an anchor, Jesus, who when tested has never bent, never been broken, never slid, never slipped. He's always been there. Therefore, when the stresses of life come your way, as your anchor, he will hold you firm and hold you secure. Isn't that cool? We know Jesus can handle it. Amen? It's like, there was, somebody, I was talking to somebody the other day, they were running through some tests. And I said, well, we got to find out what's going on, because it concerns me that you're not doing good. And they said, don't worry, God's got this. And I said, well, that's pretty cool, but I want to know what God's got a hold of. So we can keep doing these tests. Let's find out what God's holding. And of course, they laughed. All right. So he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Psalm 40:2. I want to read another couple of ways of this and look at it. The Greek, or the Hebrew. Can y'all hear me? Am I loud enough? Okay. He drew me up out of a horrible pit, a pit of tumult and destruction, out of the mire clay, the froth and the slime, and set my feet upon a rock, steadying my steps and establishing my goals. I love this other version here. He lifted me out of the ditch, pulled me from the deep mud. He stood me up on a solid rock to make sure I wouldn't slip. Wow. That's awesome. All right. So here we're going to, you know, an acrostic. A is for Apple Jacks. A is for Apple. You know, acrostic for Apple Jacks. Okay. APP. Well, this is anchor. A-N-C-O-R. So A. Accept Christ as your only hope. Okay? We can put our hope in man, and that's cool. We'll go with a lot of people we can put our hope in. But man can only go so far. Man can only do so much. And there comes a time when man can't be with you. And you go to surgery, there's only so far we can go with you. Then you're back there in the surgeon's hands. You may be putting your hope in somebody and they die. You're my rock, and all of a sudden your rock is gone. And so my prayer partner, my prayer buddy in my family was my mama. When she was gone, it was gone. You know, but I had Christ as my hope, because I had my wife and I had my family. And just my mama had been there way before my wife came into the picture, and we were prayer partners, and we've been through a lot. So, with her illness, but I didn't have her as my hope. She was just one of my prayer partners. Accept Christ as your only hope. I pray also that the eyes. Okay, looks like I'm up here smoking a cigarette. It's all right. Somebody, just don't bring me an answer, but all right. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order, that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us to believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. So first, you can still have hope in people and hope in systems, but your primary hope, you'll say primary. Yeah. I should have put primary instead of only. And the only hope that won't fail. Right. Number two. Never. I'll say never. Never. Never put your hope in what is seen. But hope is in what you do not see. Romans 8:24-25 says, "And this hope we were saved, a hope that is seen is not hope at all. We hope for what he already has. But then we hope for what we do not yet have. We wait patiently for it." See, I intentionally made this quick because I'm not sure how long this will last. So I'm pretty sure Linda's praying that it'll last at least till we get through this. They were telling me at Emmaus, they said that guy wanted me to post that prayer for him. They said Linda must have predated hers because she meant for it to stop working when they got home, and it stopped working on Saturday. So she was a very powerful prayer warrior for it ahead of time. See, clean the plans and promises of God. "I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. "Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future." Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. And I love this message. Bible right here it says, "I know what I'm doing." Yeah. I've been preaching from it. I know, but I've been preaching from it for months up here. You see it up here on the thing. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. Think about that. How many times has somebody told you that and you knew they didn't know? Can you hear me? Is this working? How about now? Is it better? Test, 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 test. Is it working now? Okay, hold on. It's not a problem. We can wait for you. Can you hear it? Can you hear it now? Test, test, test. Okay, I turned it. I think I hit it about 10 times. Okay. All right. God's saying, "I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for." In H. Hope in the redeeming power of God. "Why are you downcast on my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior, my God." And of course, again, Hebrew, "Why are you cast down on my inner self? Well, why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? Hope in God and wait expectantly for him, for I shall yet praise him, my help and my God." And then, "Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising again. He'll put a smile on my face. He's my God. He's my God." Isn't that awesome? And then O. "Offer genuine hope, faith, hope, and love to other Christians. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray for you because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring up from hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you've already heard about the word of truth, the gospel has come to you. All over the world, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it's been doing amongst you since the day you heard it and understand God's grace in all truth. Colossians 1, 3, verse 6. And then finally, reach out to others so that they might know the hope of his calling. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and the incomparable great love, power for us to believe. The power is like the working of the mighty strength. And I'm going to go ahead and read this again in the Hebrew or the Greek. By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he's called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance to the saints his set apart ones, and so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in working with mighty strength. And here it goes, just plain. Your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what it is he's called you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has called for Christians. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him, endless energy, boundless strength. This is a pretty good acrostic for hope, maybe for anchor. Take it and use it next week, maybe the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk about the grieving cycle, and we're going to talk about some ways to help people through the grieving cycle. Has anybody got any questions? Comments? Didn't God give you? Those guys actually had a cadence going. And I couldn't talk on Saturday night at the candlelight. And so one of the guys at the table, he hollered it out for me. He said, I mean, he hollered it loud too. God is awesome. And they said all the time. He said, all the time? God is awesome. We sound like a military sitting over there. And I turned around. Of course, nobody heard me. I turned around and said, I bet you think we got a bunch of military guys, a bunch of Marines in here. Mm-hmm. So, all hearts and minds clear? You ready to see God? Oh, definitely. I would love to see God. That would be awesome. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I can tell you this, y'all people that's been in the mail, I can tell you something that was so sweet. It hurt when the day that I was supposed to be taking Bill to the campground, I did his funeral. And that was sad to do his funeral instead of taking him to a mass. But I was talking with the Lord about it. I said, Lord, it doesn't really make sense. You know, we've been working so hard with the guy, and because he has a lot of doubts. Because of PTSD and some other things, and Agent Orange. Because he has some other health issues. But Lord reassured me that Emmaus did what it was supposed to do. Because 2 weeks before he actually went on Emmaus, he was at DC Shop talking to DC. DC said, we're going to fix this once and for all. And DC said, I'm dead. I got so bold. I shut the door, and I got down on my knees, and I came down his knees. And as he said, I started praying. He said, God hit me like he never hit me before. And said, Bill rededicated his life to the Lord that day. And his wife was on the way to get his stuff for a mass when he got killed. But when we got to a mass, and if you haven't been, you might not understand all this, but you'll understand if you go. All of his agape was connected to everything everybody else got. He got into the bag. And the cross at the end. I'm counting on Christ said, I'm counting on you. And he said, I'm counting on you. He got the cross. And the behind the scenes people gave him a card and signed. And the table leaders signed a card. Everybody up there signed a letter and a card. And so we've given him everything that all the other people got, except for the food. He didn't need that. And food. But you know what's amazing? How God works? I lost 10 pounds. I lost 2 pounds. Eddie gained it, yeah. I lost 2 pounds. Linda said, I bet you gained 5, 10 pounds. I said, nope. And I said, I bet I didn't. I said, I'll be careful what I ate. I ate a bunch, but I was careful what I ate. And I come back and I lost 2 pounds. She said, how do you do that? Yeah. So it's obviously one of them there. It was also 70. He didn't look like it that way. He looked like he was about 60, early 60s. He was a great guy. I'm getting choked on this. He was a great guy. Yeah, Linda brought me some Bojangles chicken last night, and I think they stomped their toe that season, and it was so hot. I said, that was awful thoughtful of you, dear. To get me that extra hot chicken for my throat. She went, I didn't do that. So I went to the drive through window and said, give me a tailgate. I said, they must have misunderstood you and gave you the tailpipe. Our hearts are made clear. Let's pray, Father. I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and mercy. I thank you for your power and authority, Lord. Just like you knew about Bill and you prepared him. Even though he never went on the walk, you told me the other day that he was already walking closer than we were. So I thank you for that, Lord. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch his family. Lord, touch Lester Dickinson's family too. Lift him up, strengthen him. Lord, touch our church, touch our people. Let them see and understand that you've got a very powerful thing waiting. If those reach out for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray.